Woo! Glory. Man. Well, glory. Friend, let me tell you, that's what you call singing, amen? If I was in Alabama, they'd know what I'm talking about. That's good. Singing tonight. I sure did enjoy that. Woo! Isn't it good to be saved? Good to know Jesus and being able to come. You know, that last song, I liked all of them. But I'll tell you, sometime the old ship gets a little battered. Amen? Sails get torn a little bit. And I think I can relate a little bit to that. But I'll tell you, that's what charges your battery up. I'm glad. I am so glad that this old ship's going to make it to the other side. It won't be much longer. Amen? We just got to hang in there and keep being faithful to the Lord. I saw a verse of Scripture today that just really kind of set my heart on fire. I was sharing it with the preacher a little while ago. But, you know, I think about the disciples. And Jesus told them to do something. And they said, Lord, we can't do that. No way we can feed this multitude. And, you know, I was just thinking about how many times maybe in life that there just seems like it's not enough. Has anybody been there? I was raised there, friend. I was raised poor. And it looked like so many times it just was not enough. Now, when I was raised, we didn't have any electricity, didn't have any water. We used a Johnny house. Now, half y'all don't know what a Johnny house is. Well, that's where you catch up on the reading of I'm trying to think of, says Roebuck catalog, amen? But that's where it went. But I was just thinking today about that verse of Scripture, and I was just thinking when I was growing up, some of the things, we were poor. We were poor. Now, when poor people call you poor, you're poor, amen? But I was just jotting a few things down. Everything that I had, looked like as a young boy, was second-handed. Bicycles were second-handed. And we'd always get a little can of red paint and paint it up, make it look new. How many of y'all been like that? Okay, all us whiteheads, we've been there. And then I remember my first car. I was so proud of that first car. The first thing I did, I wanted to get two squirrel tails and tie it on to the mirrors. Anybody been there? Mm-hmm. All right. And then I was thinking about this too. You know, in that day and time, we didn't have any money. And right after I got married, you know, they told me, said, two can live just as cheap as one. And I found out, there's no way you can do that. The only way, except one of them doesn't eat it all. Amen? But how many of y'all, you didn't have much, and you went and to put gas in a car, and boy, all you had was four quarters, and you put a dollar's worth of gas in a car. You ever been there? I have too. Boy, I was watching that, and I was squeezing that handle. It better not go over a dollar, because that was all that I had. And, you know, then you think about, I remember right after we got married, that we went to the grocery store. Have you ever been to the grocery store, and you had to take some things and put them back on the shelf, because you didn't have money enough to pay that? Anybody been there? Uh-huh. You were poor too, amen? But I also remember my clothes were hand-down clothes. In my senior year in high school, I was president of my senior class. I had to give a speech. I didn't have any suit to wear. I didn't have any clothes. My mother called my uncle who lived in Richmond, Uncle Gordon. He was the only one had any money. And they said he had a little money and never got married. I'll leave that one there. But anyway, she told him my need. He sent me one of his suits. I never will forget it. It was a gabardine suit. Uncle Gordon weighed 300 and some pounds. So help me, when I graduated from high school, I weighed 112 pounds. Can you imagine me in that suit? Mama was able to take it up in a way so it wouldn't fall off of me. So help me, I could get all of my body in one of the legs. Hand-a-downs. You know, isn't God good, though? Isn't he good? I remember after getting married, 4 or 5 years, when we first got married, we lived in a garage. And, you know, they say you can live on love. No, I found out you just can't live on love. Love's wonderful, but you just can't live on love, can you, Helen? Okay. And but you know, I can remember after a while we were able to purchase our first home. I think we mortgaged it for 40 years, but anyway, we were able to get. But it was so much of a thrill to go to that thermostat and turn that thermostat and didn't have to put wood in. You know, I was an old country boy. I asked my wife, I said, where do you put the wood in? She said, dummy, you don't do it. Just turn that little knob up there. I played with that little knob for a week, but it was so good. You know, when you stop and you look back, and a lot of you were walking with me when I was talking about it because you didn't have it either. But isn't it good today how God blesses and lifts us up? And boy, we have more today than we've ever had. Amen? We owe more today than we've ever had. Amen? All right. Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. The book of Matthew, chapter 14. I've been preaching right long each night. And the reason for it, Helen has been giving me this West Virginia water. And it's got a little kick to it, okay? So I think that's the reason I've been preaching a little long. But anyway, let's give our undivided attention tonight to this precious, precious story. There are a few places in the Bible that I think about how I would just love to have been there. And this is one of the places. I would have loved to have been right there when this event took place. It had to be an exciting time. It's one of the greatest miracles. And had God blessed this, wouldn't you have loved to have been a person that would have been there? Now let's look. Beginning with verse 14. And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. Picture that. Don't jump over that. Here's a great multitude of people. 5,000 men alone, plus families. And all at once, they were seated on probably on the hillside. And Jesus was there preaching and teaching. And all at once, he started bringing the sick people. And he was healing the sick people. I mean, it was a glorious day. Can you imagine the joy that must have been on that hillside that day? They were just enjoying themselves, praising God. Miracles were taking place. Now look at verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals or food. Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, that they need not depart, give ye them to eat. Now, think about that. Put yourself there. And here's this great multitude of people. And the disciples said, Lord, you better send them away. Send them away. They're hungry. And they're like most Baptists. You get hungry, they get mean. Amen? So don't let them get mean. Send them away. Can't you just see what Jesus said? Listen, they're human like us. Jesus said, won't you feed them? Lord, you asking for the impossible. We don't have money enough to do this. Lord, the only thing that is here is two fish and five loaves. That's all that's here with this great multitude of people. I love this boy. Jesus says, and in John chapter 6, verse 9, he said that it was a lad that had this little lunch. Can't you just see Jesus saying, go and bring him to me? And I love this part. Can't you just see? I don't know what disciple it was. Probably Peter. He volunteered for everything. And old Peter probably ran and he got up to the little boy. And he said, son, you have something Jesus wants. And probably the little boy looked at him, little lad. He said, what do I have Jesus want? He wants your lunch. Will you give him his lunch? And he probably said, yeah. Can't you just see? Maybe Peter taking him by the hand and taking that little lad and leading him right on up to where Jesus is. And Jesus would probably look at him and say, son, could I just borrow your lunch? I can see a little boy now taking his little lunch, putting it in the master's hand. And Jesus says, you know the story. Jesus blessed that food. And then he told his disciples, said, now you take these two fish and these five loaves, and you just take them and you feed the people out there. I would have loved to have been there. Can you imagine taking a piece off, giving, and that old loaf just keeps getting longer and longer. The old fish keeps getting bigger and bigger. But he just takes it and he's spreading that all around. And then the Bible said that after they had eaten, they were filled. Some of y'all had a good supper tonight, didn't you? But can't you just see that crowd? They've eaten, they're filled. Then Jesus said to the disciples, go in and take what's left over. And he goes, and 12 baskets are filled up. And he brings them in. Now, this is not in the scripture. This is a Clarkson interpretation, okay? And if I'm wrong, when I get to heaven, I'll apologize to each one of you that I was wrong. But you're not going to remember it anyway. But anyway, can't you see that little boy going home with that basket of food? And I can see him now. Mama, mama, mama. And he's just running fast as he can. And his mama looks at him and said, Johnny, where'd you get all that food? Jesus gave it to me. Jesus gave it to me. Isn't that a lovely story? That is one of the greatest, greatest miracles in all the Bible. It's wonderful. Could the disciples been any more in the will of God than what they were right there? No way. They were obedient. They were doing exactly what the Lord had told them to do. Amen? And then Jesus says to them, get in the boat, and I'll meet you on the other side. Woo! But oh me, things kind of changed a little bit now. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Preach, ask God's blessing. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. You know, it's not only that we see this event taking place here, but I have noticed something else. I noticed it with Elijah, and I've noticed it with a lot of others, and I have experienced a little of it even in myself. Sometimes when you're right in the will of God, you're doing exactly what he's told you to do. You're preaching. You're bringing the message he told you to preach. You're singing the songs that he told you to sing. You're teaching the lesson that he told you to teach. Many, many times, look like trouble, we call it trouble, will follow us when we're right in the will of God. Now, as I look at this, I see that they are in the boat. It's not long before storms come. They think they're going to die out there. They're human like us. You know what they are saying? They're talking to each other. They are saying, why is this happening to us? Well, we've been serving the Lord. We've seen miracles. We've heard the greatest preaching that anyone has ever heard. We've seen his miracles. We've seen all of those. We have obeyed him. We have even obeyed him in getting in the boat, going across the Sea of Galilee, and we have a promise. He's going to meet us on the other side. We are right in the will of God. But look at the storm that is coming. Watch this. Watch this. For a Christian, there's really boils down to only two storms. Now, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about Christians. There are two storms that we all sometime go through life. The first storm that I think about is a storm of chastisement. It's when God has to chasten us a little bit to get us where we ought to be. I think there are times that we get out of the will of God, and we get maybe doing what we shouldn't do. We get slack, we get lukewarm, we get cold, we just take everything for granted. We can come to a service like that, we hear the greatest singing, and we just sit there. But that was a time that you were blessed. That was a time you was moved. That was a time you were praising God. But then God has to do this because we are sons. And being sons of God, we are rebuked. We are chastened. And he does that because that he loves us. Now watch it. There's a second storm called the storm of perfection. You might be just as close to the Lord, but now God wants you to grow a little bit because he knows what's down the road. He knows what you're going to have to go through. And he knows that you are going to have to trust him. It's going to take more faith. It's going to take you laying everything on the line because you're putting it all in his hand. The disciples, this storm, they thought sure they were going to die out there. This is the worst storm that they have ever been in. They've never seen anything like that. They are human. Don't forget that. They are human just like you and I are. But the Lord was preparing them. And you know, when we get to that point in life, God knows exactly what we're getting ready to face. And the Lord said, I'm doing this because I love you, because you're going to need a little more faith. You're going to believe a little bit more because this is waiting for you down the road. So, you know, he does it all because that he loves us. Now, we all, if you're here tonight, you're saved. You're going through those two storms. There's going to come a time that the Lord is going to have to chasten you a little bit. And then there's another time that he's perfecting you. He's growing you. He's preparing you. You're growing more as a Christian. And, you know, this is exactly what he was doing for those disciples. He wasn't mad at them. He loved them. But they needed to grow spiritually. Now, I see something else here. There are four things I want to share with you tonight. Now, don't miss these. These are important. These are four things that when you are in a storm, you can always, always, 100% of the time, you can always go back and count on these four things. They're right here in the Word of God. We all go through it. This is where I go when I'm in a storm. When trouble hits me, this is the chapter I run to. And this is what I will always go and think about and dwell on. The first one is this. I'm in this storm because he brought me here. Woo! Woo! Man, don't you go to sleep on me tonight. You need this. Amen? He brought me where I am. Y'all were singing that tonight. He brought me here. I'm in this storm because he's teaching me. There's something that he knows that I need. Now, I'll tell you, most of my revivals, God just blesses so much. And now and then, I can hit a dead one. Woo! I don't like to even think about those kind. But you see, God knows what I need. And there's a time that it makes you pray more. It makes your faith grow. It makes you look to him and say, Lord, check me. Lord, I want to be more like you, less like me. And this is what that he's doing. He is pruning us. He is getting us prepared and ready. And he gets us through these times. And you can always think about that. If you're saved, if you're a child of God tonight, when you are in the storm, first, evaluate it. What storm is it? Now, what is he teaching me? Why is he bringing me here? The second thing that I like is it. He is praying for me. Look with me if you would, in verse 22 and 23. And he said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples, get to a ship, go before him to the other side. And while he sent them away, and when he sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Why was he there? He was praying. What was Jesus praying for? He knew they were going to make it to the other side. He already told them, I'm going to meet you over there. He wasn't praying for that. What was he praying for? He was praying, I believe, for one thing, that their faith would not fail. And you know, maybe tonight, maybe this is where you are tonight. Maybe you are having a rough time. Maybe you're going through a storm tonight. You just don't understand why this is happening, why that is happening. And yet we know that God is teaching us. He is preparing us. He's making us more like his son. So, you know, we need to remember he is always praying for us. Isn't it amazing how God answers prayer? I've had a great day today. I've had two or three phone calls that just, whoo. One of them was from a pastor, his wife. He thought they had cancer. And they did major surgery, 6 hours of surgery on her. And he called me today, and he was just weeping. He said, you know, everything turned out so good. She doesn't have to have any treatment, no radiation, no chemo. Said, well, if they got in there, they got everything, cleared out everything. And whoo! I mean, to say he was shouting. Is it all right to shout in this church? Man! That's shouting ground. Amen? Amen. But you know what? He told me that. He said, preacher, through this time, I have grown so much more just in trusting the Lord, trusting him. He said, everything at church has been going so good. And I said, it should have. I just finished a revival with you. But you know what I'm saying? Listen. Many times God knows exactly what all of us need and how the trouble will draw us to our knees and make us pray, and we grow, our faith grows, and we learn just like the disciples did. He is able, whatever situation, storm that you are in, he is able to come. He's praying, and he will come to you wherever that you are. That was my third point. I got there before I was supposed to. He will always come. What did he do? He came to them in a storm. He came to them in the boat. He came to them at a time they needed him. And you may be here tonight, and you might be going through something, but you need him. Last year, right here, where's the baby? Baby's not here. Back here, all right. But y'all needed a miracle last year. It didn't look like too good that this baby was going to live last year. But look what God has done. And you know, he is able to. Some of you here, I guarantee you, a year ago you were going through problems and troubles, and you were just wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? But look where you are tonight. Man, you got a smile on your face. Well, some of you have. You got a smile on your face, and you are glad to be here. You're enjoying the Word of God. You're enjoying the singing tonight. You have enjoyed the fellowship. Look what God has done for you. Amen. You couldn't see it a year ago, but you can look back tonight, and you can say, praise God for what he's done for me. And then the other thing. Number four, this is my favorite one. He told him, I will meet you on the other side. I will meet you on the other side. Thank God for that. Whew. I mean, the singing tonight been good, amen? Amen? Both groups, I have enjoyed it. Y'all have to forgive me. I jump up and holler every once in a while. I know y'all, most of you dignified and all. But I'll tell you, I get so filled with the Spirit sometimes that I just feel like shouting a little bit. Ahead, amen. Thank you. Billy will shout with me. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. Brother, if we can't get excited about serving the Lord, what is it going to take? I told some of you, my son gave me Caesar, my wife and I. By the way, today is her birthday. You pray for me. I got to do a whole lot of making up when I get home. Amen. But my son gave my wife and I season tickets to Liberty football. Now, I was baseball man. I didn't play football. But baseball was my thing. But we go to the football game. And I've noticed there at Liberty, somebody can take a little old pigskin filled with hot air and run down the field, and everybody, whoo, whoo, jumping up and squealing and crying. And you let somebody get saved and walk down the aisle, well, I hope it's real. My Lord. What in the world is wrong with us? Amen. We ought to be praising God to the highest. You know what? That old football game, that'll be over with. Everybody forget about it a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when a child of God gets saved and a name is written down in heaven, there's rejoicing in heaven, friend, and they never get over it. Whew. Look at verse 33. Let me get some more of Helen's water. I done got dry. Woo! Look at verse 33. Look what a promise that he has made. And the Bible said, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, so many times it takes a storm. It takes the storms to really open us up and start praising him. They are saying, you are the Son of God. Look what you did. No one else could do what you've done. No one else could make a sea calm. No one else could calm a storm. And no one else could get it. You made a promise that you'd meet us, and there you are here. You know what? Look at the promises that's in the Word of God. We're filled up. We had a good time preaching on angels last night. Amen? Amen. And oh boy, when you see that. But look at verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of who? Of him. of him. Everything changed then. Once that they knew who was on the shore, once that they knew about Christ, they had heard about it. But now, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of flesh, has stepped on that shore. When they had knowledge of him, what'd they do? They went out and they started bringing the sick in. They started bringing people in. You know what? What an example. That's what he wants us to do right there. You know, every one of us, we know people. We just get them in. Bring them in. I'm going to tell you, I am so proud of the young people this week. Look over here. Y'all are the best looking ones here tonight, I got to tell you. Y'all look good. Aren't you proud of these young people? Amen. You're not kidding. Give them a hand. Thank God. Got them here. Got them over here. Got them all around. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a time. What a time this church is having with its young people. I was sharing today with another preacher. I'll be with him next week. And he's not growing much. And I was just telling him about all the young people. I said, I think it was 40-some young people. Is that right? On the platform up here Sunday. Filled up. Singing for the Lord. He said, man, I wish we could do that. I said, you can? You know how to kick a soccer ball? This guy doesn't weigh but 450 pounds. Now, I don't think that he's going to be able to kick him, but we're going to get a soccer ball. We'll get something going now next week. But you know what I'm saying? Listen, so many times, it's the little things. If we'll just do that, God will bless abundantly. Think about if they had a quit out there, but they went on anyway because they had a promise that Jesus would meet them there. And when the people had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, brought unto him all that were diseases, and besought him that they may even touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Woo! Glory. You know, I'm stand amazed all the time because so many times I see people that maybe the church has given up on. Somebody will say, well, they won't mount anything. And you know, I see that God so many times will reach down and touch somebody that we never dreamed of. That we would have said, oh, God would have passed over him. And yet, God raises them up and uses them in such a mighty, mighty way. I got to say that. You know, I've known your preacher for many, many, many years. Remember when he got saved. And you know, I knew his daddy, mom, William, in full-time work and pastoring. And I saw this man. He was a young man. But I saw him coming. And I'm not going to say I didn't think God was going to use because I knew he would. I knew he was. And you know, isn't it amazing how many times that we have no earthly idea what God is getting ready to do Amen. With a man? Can I share with you one more? There's a guy by the name of Boots Tyree. Boots Tyree doesn't mean a thing to any of y'all down here. Have we got a Boots Tyree here? No, okay. But Boots Tyree was our town drunk. Every Saturday, you could see him on the sidewalk. The police would come, load him up, take him to Amos jail, let him out on Monday. Every Saturday. Boots. Old Boots, I'll tell you, people had given up on him. They said, he'll never mount to anything. His brother used to ride a motorcycle. And I used to ride a motorcycle too. He said, would you ride out and talk to my brother with me? I said, yeah. So we saddled up on the motorcycle and we rolled out on a Thursday night to visit old Boots. He wasn't drinking. Boots was married, had three daughters. So we went in, knocked on the door. They let us in. All of them sat around the table, and I never forget. I pulled up a little chair, sat right in the middle of them. And I said, we're here tonight just to tell you about one thing. Hey, you can go to heaven. Hey, you can have your past forgiven. And I looked at old Boots. I said, Boots, I know you're drunk, and everybody in Madison Heights knows you're drunk too. He hung his head. He said, they right. I said, but I know one that can take that alcohol out of you. I know one that can change you and save you. And I'm going to tell you about him tonight. True story. That night, old Boots, God got into his heart and he fell on his knees. He repented. Tears were flowing. He got up. His wife's name was Laura. He got and he put his arms around her. He said, I want you to know something is happening in me tonight. And that night, they said, well, Brother Earl, what do we do from here? I said, you meet me Sunday morning at church. I'm going to baptize all of you. They said, okay. Better not argue with the preacher. I'm going to baptize you. So, boy, that Sunday morning, I mean, the church, you know how it is when a town drunk walks in. They're in shock, you know. Everybody said, look at that, boots. You could hear, I'm glad they were saying Boots. I thought they were saying something else at one time. But anyway, you know what happened. Old Boots, boy, I'll tell you, when he walked down that aisle, his wife behind him, three children, and came on down, you could have heard a pin drop. So I took him right on back to the baptismal pool, got in the water. I said, Boots, I'm going to get you first. You're the head of the house. He come on down. I never forget what he told me. He said, Preacher, I can't swim. Don't keep me down long. I said, Boots, I'm going to put you down. And we know the Lord is going to take care of you. So we baptized and brought him up. He had a big smile on it. Didn't have any teeth. Had a big smile on his face. People got to clapping out there. They were rejoicing. They were praising God. Here is that town drunk. And look at him now. His wife got baptized. Three girls got baptized. Old Boots said, he said, Brother Earl, he said, can I go visiting with you? I said, why, sure. He said, I got a sister that lives on Thomas Road, and I got a brother that lives over here, and I've got some friends, and if we can catch them sober, said, I believe they'd get saved too. So, you know, he was with me, and we made some visits, and it's amazing. A lot of them got saved. Boots was one, and his family, one of the most faithful members in that church. People would come just to see him. They couldn't believe it. Faithful. I preached his funeral a few years back. Listen to that. His wife is just as faithful even now. Three daughters. One of them married a preacher. Pray for her. the other one is a school teacher. And the third one works at DMV. And, you know, they've all done well. And they're in church. And they're serving God. And, you know, if we will just share this good news, it's amazing what God will do. Amen. The problem is we get locked, y'all. We don't talk. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about World Series. We'll talk about all this other stuff, it doesn't matter a hill of beans. But when we start talking about Jesus, then churches grow, people grow, things change, families start getting saved. Three amens. You didn't get that. When we start witnessing and telling people about Jesus, what a difference that it makes. That's the only hope. I said this Sunday, and we'll say it again, then we're going to give an invitation. We have the answer that the world is looking for right here. Here it is. This is what the world's looking for. The world's looking for peace. The world's looking for some joy. The world is looking for a place to spend eternity in heaven. They are hungry for it. The problem is we don't tell them. Oh, man. Lord, wake us up tonight. Stir us up tonight. God, get us on fire tonight. We're down to the end, folks. We don't have much time left. I'm going to do something tonight. The preacher told me I could. I'm going to challenge you tonight. A number of years ago, I led a man to the Lord in the hospital. He had cancer. His mouth was eat out. His tongue was gone. It was a horrible odor, a horrible sight. And the nurse, who was a member of our church, called me. She said, "Can you come right away?" I said, "Sure." And I went. She told me that this man has 5 minutes to live, no longer than that, if he makes it that long. He's lost. And his little wife is sitting in there with him. And she's crying, and they were well up in years. And I remember going in and taking him by the hand. I said, "Sir, I know you can't talk, but if you can hear me, squeeze my hand." He squeezed my hand. I said, "Sir, if you'd like to know you got a home in heaven and need to get saved, would you squeeze my hand?" And he did. I said, "I know you don't have much longer, but I'm going to get right to the point. I'm going to tell you how you can get saved. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer and give your heart to Jesus and repent of your sin. I know you can't say it out loud, but say it from your heart." And I led him in a short sinner's prayer, asking Lord to forgive him of his past, asking God to come into his life and to save him. And I said right now, "Say, Lord, I'm giving what's left to you." And he prayed that prayer. And I said, "Sir, if you prayed that prayer from your heart to God's heart, would you squeeze my hand again?" And he grabbed a hold of my hand. And with every bit of strength he had, he squeezed down. And he never let it go. He died when I was holding his hand. And on the way back, God says, "You write a track." This is in 5 different languages. It's all in Russian, Romanian, Hungary, Lithuania, and Cuba, and it's in 5, at least 5 different nations. It works. I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm going to beg you tonight. I'm going to beg you tonight. If you would just not take 10, I'm going to ask you to take 1. And I'm asking you, sometime, hopefully tomorrow, you will just do 1 thing. You would give this tract to someone and say, "Would you please read this tract?" And I'd like to invite you to our revival. Every one of us can do that. Amen? Isn't that such a little? And yet, you know what? God will bless it because it's his word that's here. Would you be willing to do that tonight? How many would be willing to do that tonight? Lift your hand up. Praise God. I see every hand, I think. You know why? It's the word of God. It doesn't return void. God always blesses his word. Let's have every head bowed. With every head bowed. And I wonder tonight, I want to ask a couple simple questions tonight. The first one I want to ask is this. Do you know you got a home in heaven? Are you saved? Do you know that for sure? If you can say that, lift your hand up. While you got it up, say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you." May take them down. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed. If you couldn't raise your hand, would you just do something for me? Would you just allow me the privilege to pray for you? I'll not come to you. I'll not call your name. I don't even know your name. I'm not come to you. But I would like to just pray for you if you couldn't raise your hand. Would you just lift your hand and let me see it? Said, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. Just slip it up. Let me just see it. Better like that. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Slip it up. Slip it up. Anyone else? I couldn't raise my hand, preacher. Father, tonight, God, no doubt, there's lost people in the church tonight. People that need Jesus, Father. People that need you. And Lord, tonight, God, if they die tonight, Heavenly Father, they'll spend eternity in hell. They're bound for the lake of fire. They're not staying here. We preached on that the other night in Revelation. They're leaving. They'll be the left behind. And God, I don't believe anybody here tonight wants to be left behind. And I'm praying tonight, dear Lord, God, somebody tonight would get saved. Somebody tonight right now would give our heart to Jesus before it's too late. God, some of them here, maybe they're good dad, good moms, or they got good friends or whatever. But Lord, they're not saved. They may even have church membership somewhere, but they're not saved. God, tonight, reach down, touch those hearts right now. And if that's your need tonight, silently from your heart to God, said, pray a simple prayer with me. The first thing God wants to hear from you, that you repent. He wants you to know that you're a sinner. He wants you to know that the only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And tell him right now, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. Forgive me. The second thing God wants to hear from you is that you believe him and invite him to come into your heart. Would you do that right now? Would you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I believe you are the Savior, and I need to be saved. And the third thing that he wants you to do, surrender your life to him. Say, Lord, I'm giving myself, my life to you. Take me and use me, Lord. And thank you for hearing my prayer tonight. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. And if you prayed that prayer tonight and you said, Brother Earl, I prayed it and I meant it. And I'm not ashamed of it. Would you just lift your hand up and take it back down? Let me just see it. Anyone at all like that tonight? Anyone at all like that tonight? Father, I thank you tonight for your word, for your truth, for your presence. And now, Lord, as we come tonight and take this track, I'm praying tonight that each one you're going to lead, and dear God, that they will take tomorrow and give to someone and tell them about Jesus. And Lord, it's a witness in that track. If they'll just do one thing and say, I want to tell you about Jesus, here, read about it. Oh, Father, I pray, God, save some precious soul. In Jesus' name we ask it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Pastor, would you be with me, Dan, here, and we just ask people tonight if you would just come and hear these tracks over here. If you're willing to do that, would you just come and we're going to give you a track and ask God to bless you in it.